it was always in our cards to have children. And it was going to happen no matter what, you know, the previous journey looked like.
You know, long-lasting relationships, it's fatherhood, it's parenting, it's monogamous relationships. On television and media, you don't see that when it comes to two Black, you know, gay men. We always say we're part of two minority groups. I think that, you know, being Black and then being gay, you kind of mix those. Like, one or the other is kind of hard enough, but then when you mix both, it's extremely difficult.
There's just so much complexity to it and so much to really unpack and to, you know, go through a lot of like healing processes on your own. But, and this is just for you, because we've not told this part of the story. What the truth is that
hi, I'm Sanjay Sudsmith, pronouns he, him, and welcome to the Proud Parent Club, the inclusive LGBTQ plus parenting community. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Terrell and Jarius, dads to Ashton and Aria, creators and LGBTQ plus advocates who share their lives to spread positivity and give much needed representation. Hi, guys.
Hi. First of all, I love that intro. So that's, you know, I always love to hear different intros because everybody has their own spin on it. But I was like, that's top five.
Definitely spot on.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to give myself a gold star. Thank you so much for joining me. And you guys just had a trip to Paris for your son Ashton's birthday.
Yeah, our first time in Europe.
And how was it?
It was a lot to take in. And we were there for almost a week. The thing is that what we're also trying to get out of is that we travel a lot. But we get very spoiled with like staying at resorts. And so we waited until like the very last two days to actually go out and explore Paris, because the whole trip was centered around his birthday, which was at Disney. So we went to Disney every day, for which he loved. But once we got out to see the beauty of Paris, like, it was breathtaking.
I will say this. Compared to the U.S., the amount of, like, history that is shown throughout the city and throughout much of Europe, like, it's it was so incredible. And it was such, like, an amazing experience to get to, like, walk through and to get to see, like, how even aspects of, like, the United States, of even our home. Because we're from Louisiana and we have like French roots. So it was incredible to see like history kind of show itself in like a whole different country, and it really like opened our eyes to we got to do some work.
It's like when I went to New Orleans and I was like, wow, it's really like Paris. New Orleans.
it was an amazing trip, and I told him that my hope is that we get to go back for the Olympics in 2024.
Amazing.
That would be a dream of mine.
And jump on the Eurostar and pop to London at the same time. How did you guys meet? Because I read something somewhere about a haunted house.
Yeah, that's very true. So we actually did meet at a haunted house when we were freshmen in college. We both were in different relationships at the time. And the story always gets convoluted because Jarius feels as though I was flirting and I was just complimenting, you know, articles of clothing that he had on. But we moved really fast. Like, we met at the haunted house, and again, he took me complimenting his jacket as flirting, and then it was
one. And you weren't flirting.
Yeah, it was. I just got the jacket.
All I will say is this: we met at the haunted house on October 1st. We were in a relationship by November 20th. Now, if that don't give you flirting, you know, I don't know what it is, because that, I mean,
it gives that someone was very persistent is what it gives. So let's not confuse it. It was very persistent. But that's kind of like our story. And so this year we'll actually be celebrating 11 years together. So
congratulations. That's amazing. And I saw on one of your reels, and I love your reels. They're so creative and amazing. And I saw on one of them that you hid your relationship for 5 years and told everyone that you're roommates.
Yes. Being from Louisiana and being in the South, like, being gay is not one of the things that's accepted. You can be many things, but being gay isn't one of them. And, you know, just with having Southern roots, like, we still lived in Louisiana all throughout college. And so he was my roommate forever, like going back home during Christmases, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, like my roommate's coming with me and, you know, but we're not going to stay at my mom's house. We're going to get a hotel. we just hid that aspect, because we were afraid of just like what people would think. We knew that our family would be accepting and, we didn't want to be judged for it.
Well, I will say this, and this is just for you because we've not told this part of the story. What the truth is that we were on two different pages about it. Tara was very apprehensive about sharing that part and coming out, simply because he had never been with, I am the first guy that he's ever been with. And yeah. For him, it was like truly like a scary thing. And for me, I had already like told my mom, and I was at a point in life which I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to live afraid. Like, I want to be open, but I also wanted to be respectful of him and his process too. So it was quite a journey those 5 years of getting to the point of actually coming out. But what a lot of people don't know is that, and I think it's important to talk about, is that we had two different opinions on it. And I think that a lot of people just think that, oh, well, you know, like you both were like afraid. There are sometimes going to be situations where one person's ready to come out and one person isn't. And it's like, you know, you have to really find that balance.
And how did you get to that point then of where you're kind of ready to come out?
Kids, actually. So we kept it a secret up until we were expecting our first daughter. And we did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did a article with Wall Street Journal and the article came out and it was, looking back on it, the article was talking about infertility. So, of course, everyone was upset to see, I think a lesbian couple was in there also, but it was, you know, to see a gay couple in an article talking about infertility because the comments were, they're not infertile, they're gay. So it's not like they can't have kids. They shouldn't have kids because it's two men. And so... I was so infuriated by the comments that we were receiving because that was one of the happiest moments of our life. And I remember I was on a work trip and at that moment, like just reading the comments, I just broke down and I was just like, I can't believe this. Like, you know, I cannot not live my truth and want to be a parent and bring our daughter into this world. And I'm not even ready to accept or be vocal about who I am. And so I did what everybody else does. I wrote this long Facebook status and came out and shared the article and kind of told everyone my truth. And I'm like, this isn't my roommate. I shouldn't have to, you know, hide who I love. And we're also bringing in this incredible blessing. So, you know, here's my truth. And so, you know, the fatherhood, I guess I would say, actually pushed me to be like, you can't hide who you are.
Wow. And how was the reaction when you did that?
Yeah, it was super positive. And I think that's always the scary part. Now, that's not everybody's story, and we can acknowledge that. But I had built and worked myself up to feeling like it was going to be so negative. And it was, you know, everyone who was meant to be there is still here. But it was overwhelmingly positive and filled with so much love. So one of the best decisions I could have done. I probably would have done it differently, much sooner. I think that it all worked in its timing when I was ready. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And I think from like my perspective, I feel that it is such a scary time and it is like taking the leap because you don't know what the response is going to be. And I think that you hear so many like horror stories about what happens when someone comes out and how family treats you moving forward. Like, you know, I'm grateful that for the most part that wasn't our experience, but I would not be telling the truth to say that it definitely had its ups and downs. And there was, you know, timetables for everyone and everyone's was different. There was some people who accepted it immediately and was, you know, team Terrell and Jarius. And then there was some people who needed a lot of time to come around, you know, to accepting who we are. And I think to this day, like, we still have, you know, room for improvement for sure. But overall, I think the beauty of what we all do, and you included and your husband as well, but I think the beauty of what we do is that we get to show people that it's not as bad as you think, you know, it is. And it's not like this thing that's going to like shatter everyone's dreams and hopes. Like, you know, we were still able to do anything that we wanted to do if we were in a heterosexual marriage. So
yeah,
for us, it was just really about changing perspectives. And I think that post kind of catapulted us into this whole mindset of just changing the narrative of what it means to be in a same-sex marriage.
And on that point, you also talk in one of your posts about specifically being positive role models as two Black men raising kids. Mm-hmm. And like, how, what's your experience of that in terms of how that representation has been, how important that is?
Yeah, I think that we always say we're part of two minority groups. I think that, yeah, you know, being Black and then being gay, you kind of mix those, like one or the other is kind of hard enough, but then when you mix both, it's extremely difficult. And it's kind of hard to explain, but it's also hard to accept because you don't see it. And I think that's been one of our biggest struggles, is that positive influences. And when I say positive, it's, you know, long lasting relationships. It's fatherhood. It's parenting. It's monogamous relationships on television and media. You don't see that when it comes to two Black, you know, gay men. I think that you see it a lot in white men and, you know, how they are portrayed in media. But for us, it's a lot harder. And I think that it has, we talk about this a lot also, that I think it has a lot to do with like religious backgrounds and like Black churches and things like that. And so, again, we just want to change the narrative of, again, what it means to be both of those and to be a part of both of those communities. And the most heartwarming thing is getting messages from parents and, you know, them sharing how, you know, we changed their mind and that they have, you know, a son, a part of the community, and they didn't picture them having kids. And so those are like the most rewarding moments, but it's,
yeah,
like shifting one by one, whoever is open. And that's all we can ever ask for.
I think I don't want to ever minimize like what anyone else's story is, because whether you are Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, I'm sure coming out is not easy.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like for anyone. However, what I can, and what Tara was speaking to, is our experience specifically with being Black. And I think that's, like he said, it's one thing to be Black, it's one thing to be gay, but it's another thing to do it in the South too. Mm-hmm. Because the roots of Southern religion is so deeply embedded into, you know, who we are as people, that like it, even in our relationship early on, it was so deeply embedded in me that like I almost ended our relationship. So I feel like, you know, there's just so much complexity to it and so much to really unpack and to, you know, go through a lot of like healing processes on your own. But it's definitely a struggle. And I feel like, and I also want to make sure I note too, that it's not that I don't want to be fake in the sense that like we're trying to portray only positive. We are being exactly who we are. And yeah, I feel like
sometimes to our detriment, like we're very honest of showing the in and outs of just what our relationship consists of, because we never want to fall into being a social media couple or just someone who kind of puts on for social media. So doing that and sharing our lives already just so candidly, but also the bad as well. I think helps a lot of people, but it also opens up to a lot of scrutiny as well.
But it's just like, you know, we recognize that not everybody's going to be, you know, monogamous. Not everyone's going to, you know, want to raise a family and stuff like that. And all those things are fine as well. But I think it's also important for the world to get to see
the
that
gamut.
It's not just one particular way, that, you know, there yeah. are people who do want to have families and who are monogamous. And I think it's important for them to see that, because I think the world often looks at the LGBTQ plus community through one lens. It's not fair.
Yeah. And it's really important to show all the different diverse representatives that are included within that community. And it's amazing that you're showing this facet of the community, and the fact that you're getting messages from people. I'm sure there's young people all over the world probably who look at you and go, actually, that's something that I didn't think I could be, but I can be.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Same for you guys. Like when you have like a public platform like that, it's you really are, some people really are living through you because of their situations.
Did you both always know that you wanted children?
We knew it, but we were on different kind of timelines on that also. Similar to coming out. I came from a big family, and I think that influenced a lot of my, our dog is like,
we have a puppy.
Yeah. I came from a big family, and I think with that, I always knew that I wanted to have kids, and Darius kind of wanted to go the traditional route and saying that he was just like, let's get married, let's have a house, then let's have kids. And I was a junior in college, and I'm just like, how are we about to do this? Because I want to have kids, and like started the conversation early.
He was like, how can we get to Mexico and have children?
Yeah. which was an interesting time also.
and so talk to me about that. Like, how did you go about creating your family?
Yeah, so again, junior in college, I'm on Skype calls with surrogacy agencies in Mexico.
Wow.
And with my calculator, like, how much do I have to save and how are we going to do this? Because I think that for me, it was just so important to become a dad. Like, some people just thought they always feel like they picture themselves as a parent. I felt like that was always me. And you know, the conversations that we have, Jarius, I'd be like, come on, we got this Zoom call at 2:00. Like, we're meeting with the director, and you know, she's gonna explain to us how the whole surrogacy process works. And he probably just thought that I was the craziest thing walking to be talking about that as juniors. But it really just kind of, I say we are always the first to do things in our friend group, and it really just kind of sparked the conversation of how we're going to like move forward. And I saw when he didn't run away and run crazy when I was talking about it, I knew that I was stuck with him. He loved me. And so, you know, I think that that was important. Also, we had those conversations early.
You know, I think it all plays a part into it all kind of comes together in a way too, because I think another thing that I had always saw and I was always shown from like a media perspective is that, you know, the LGBTQ plus community is just so fast. Like, everyone just falls in love so quickly. It's not real and things like that. So when I approached my relationship, I knew I wanted to be with him. But then also there was a lot of complexity. I was the first person the first guy that he had ever been with. I was the first for many things for him. So it was like, you know, there was a lot of fear. Is this, you know, something that's going to, you know, be long-term? I don't want to bring children into like a broken home situation. I don't want to, you know, raise them in a situation where I feel like it's unstable for them. So I think for me, commitment was a really big piece of the puzzle, because I knew what I envisioned my family being. And I didn't want to fall into the stereotypes that are unjustly placed upon us. But that was a big thing for me, like commitment. And I got the commitment. So
he got everything he wanted.
And so you went through the surrogacy process in Mexico. And is that right?
No.
Technically, we kind of did, but no. So that's not how the kids came about.
Okay.
We found surrogates privately that it just so happened that we built a bond and relationship with, and we were able to do it independently. And I think it worked out better for us at that time too, because of financial reasons. I mean,
yeah,
we were like fresh out of college when this happened. But at the same time, we learned a lot through those situations too, because I don't think that there is any one way to do it, that every person has to assess what makes the most sense for them. And I think for us, like, we learned a lot.
Yeah.
We learned a lot from Mexico, and not even though we didn't go all the way through, we learned a lot from what happened through that process. And then we learned an incredible amount of knowledge from just doing it independently, and the work that agencies have to go through to make it happen, and having to manage it all ourselves too.
And what was the biggest thing that you learned?
Patience.
Yeah. And then I also had to learn how to let control of things, you know, like to release control, because I'm I don't know. I think that it goes into just all the things that you ever imagined, like your marriage to be, your life to be. And I think even when it came to parenting, because I never necessarily saw myself like marrying a man and having kids with a man, like you always envision, you know, when I become a parent or when whoever is pregnant with my child, that I want to be there and lay next to the belly and listen and feel for kicks and, you know, oh, I want to, you know, make sure that diets and everything are right and that you're eating the best foods and X, Y, Z. And I'm like, and then when you have a surrogate, that's not your reality. You know, it's, yeah, you're not there all the time. You have to trust and be okay with, you know, going to appointments and just, you know, communicating via text, because essentially that person has their own life as well. And you can only request and do so many things. And so it was a lot of releasing control, releasing expectations that I had, and kind of just trusting the process. And it's scary. I mean, that's how I would sum it up. It's definitely scary to go through the entire journey, because it's a lot of things that you learn as a kid that you think pregnancy is just so easy. You can get pregnant, birds and the bees, you know, all this happened. I'm like, it's so specific and so timed. And then, you know, with us having a miscarriage with our first daughter, I think that it really put things into perspective for us that, and also a lot of fear about going through these journeys. And so the list goes on the things we learned, but those are just a few.
I'll say I think patience is, it can go a lot of different ways. It's funny because it's like you do have to have patience in every aspect of it. But I think patience more than anything between the two of us, because there were a lot of hurdles that we had to get through this process. And I think there was a lot of letting go of control on his part. But then I think there was, even though I was a little bit more slower to coming around to having kids so young, when you get into the process and you start to envision the dreams that you've always dreamt, and like it's really becoming a reality, having patience to do things the right way and to make sure that you're 100% comfortable and sure with whatever the situation may be, because there are a lot of hurdles and a lot of humps, and every day is totally different in surrogacy. And for us especially, it was so, it was unsure for a lot of time, of what was going to happen, like how we were going to get through it financially, how we were going to get through it emotionally, especially after experiencing a loss. Like it was just a lot to go through. And I think throughout this process, what I learned even more than patience is that I have to lean on each other.
Knowing what you know now, what would your advice be to people who are maybe just embarking on the surrogacy journey?
So my advice to people just embarking on the surrogacy journey would be, first and foremost, like we've been saying, just to be patient, to go in it, I don't want to sound negative, but I'm just like, you almost have to hope for the best and kind of plan and have backup plans and plan, because it's with pregnancy and with surrogacy, everything is up in the air. Nothing's a for sure thing. We've seen people who have done transfers and it doesn't take, and then they get discouraged because, you know, and for us, it happened on the first try, you know, but that's our story. And I just want people to... Yeah. You know, when going through it, just really have a connection, open communication with your partner, whoever you're going through it with. And if you're going through it independently, have someone that you can talk through, because I think it's an emotional journey. And I think that you need as much support as you can get to level set and keep you grounded throughout the process.
For me, I think there's two things that really stand out aside from what I just said. But for me, I think the biggest thing that I would tell people to really be sure of before embarking on that journey is, the number one, to make sure that you have all of the details like ironed out with each other. Because, again, this is such a roller coaster type of journey that it's if you both aren't on the same page, I mean, it could be someone doing it by themselves as well. But, you know, if it's a couple and you both are not on the same page, it just adds so much stress and so much like anxiety and confusion to the situation. So like you just really have to be on the same page and have a fundamental baseline agreement on how you want this to look like and what happens in the event. And I think you have to have open dialogue too, because what happens in the event that you do have a miscarriage? You know, like how do you want to be supported? How would I want to be supported? So that way it's not like if these things, you know, just so happen to unfortunately come up to be, I think it's trying to figure it out on a whim. I think having open dialogue just kind of, you know, prepares you for every possibility that could happen. And then the second part of it is for me, I think I learned to just be at peace. Because I think after our first journey that ended in miscarriage, when we had our two kids, I think the entire time was just filled with so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it almost stripped us of the joy and happiness of going through the process.
Yeah.
And I had to, now looking back, it was always in our cards to have children. And it was going to happen no matter what, you know, the previous journey looked like. So I feel like for me, if I could give anyone advice, I would just say, you know, you to enjoy it. And no matter what, like the ups and downs, you know, that may come, just enjoy the process, because one day you're going to get to your end result of having your child and it's going to be so worth it. And you don't want to look back and feel like I was just constantly in a state of panic and not actually enjoying the process of this beautiful life coming to be. That I'm going to get to have a hand in raising.
That's really good advice, and that really resonates with me, because I am quite an anxious person a lot of the time, and I certainly spent the majority, I would say, of our surrogate's pregnancy very, very anxious. And actually, hopefully, you know, when we hopefully do it again, I'll be a little bit calmer, because you don't want to look back and kind of not experience the joy and positivity of it as well. What's been the best thing about being dad so far?
I would say for me, the best thing is I get the privilege and honor of waking up every single day, despite the bad mornings, despite, like, you know, the growing pains of raising toddlers that are preschool children at this point. But I get to wake up every day and see that through all of the things that they're going through and all the hard points in parenting, I get to see that they are amazing human beings, and that's a direct reflection of me. And to watch them, like, go out and to conquer a lesson, or when I sat and I taught them on the importance of being good humans and, like, treating each other with kindness, and you get to see that in the act, and knowing that these little kids that I personally raised and I had a hand in molding, they're going to go out and they're going to be such incredible people, and they're going to put out so much positivity into the world. Like, to me, that's the most important thing, is that I get to see them, like, the effort that I put into them, I get to see it, you know, come to be, and to see them flourish and doing it is just, I don't know, it's just an incredible feeling for me. And it kind of keeps me up through the back talking and the sassiness and the development of just their personalities and them trying to figure out who they are and how they exist in the world. I think it definitely makes me feel like, damn, like, I'm doing a really good job.
Likewise, I think I agree with what Jari says. I think that it's true that kids keep you young. No 2 days are the same. And so I think that's a joy to look forward to. And what are they going to say today? What moments and memories are we going to make? And I think it's also, and this is a transparent conversation, and I don't know the right words for it, but to Jari's point, it's almost like a little project that you have where it's just like, you know, you're taking what you know in being a person. You're taking the parenting that your parents gave you and, you know, your grandparents, and you're taking all these things and you're giving the best parts to your kids, mm-hmm. and hoping that, you know, you can form this amazing person and give them these experiences. And so we take a lot of what we learn from our childhood, the good and the bad, and strive to always be better and do different, which is why travel is so important to us. We want them to be able to travel the world, have these experiences and memories. And so I think that it's just looking forward. The best part is just looking forward to every day that they, you know, tackle something else and learn something new. I don't know. It's just a heartwarming for me. It's just unconditional love. And I think that that's just like my favorite part.
That's beautiful. And they're only 5 weeks apart, right?
5 weeks apart.
5 weeks.
And how is that? I mean, so I know on one of your posts you say they're not twins, but they act like it.
Yeah, now it's interesting because our daughter will walk up to people and say, "This is my twin brother." And I'm like, I don't know where you got that from. Because I think people say it so often, you know, even the schools, we put separate birthdays, like when we went to enroll them in school, and they're just like, "We just want to know if the twins are coming." I'm like, they're not twins, but they're all each other knows. You know, we had our kids in 2017, and then, you know, they were infants and babies. And, you know, so we did, you know, they were at home. We never did like a daycare. So every single day it was just them two. And then the pandemic hit. And then, you know, now it's just like the first year where we're considering school, and that's just their best friends. And so they act alike, in so many ways, but they also have very different personalities. And then our daughter came second. So it's always a running joke that we have peace with our son for 5 weeks. But our daughter came and stirred things up because he's such the calm spirit and very relaxed. And our daughter is just like a cannon. And she has so much personality. And being the only girl, she's just like, I run this house. So, you know, two totally different personalities. But I think the twin bond comes in with that. They wake up looking for each other because they never do anything apart.
I just had this thought a couple of days ago, and I was like, our kids are about to both be 5 years old, and to this day, they've never spent one day apart.
Wow.
Aside from when they were both here.
Yeah.
They never spent one day apart. And I think for them, it's
a sense of comfort.
Yeah, it's like they lean on each other, and it is like a twin situation because they literally are so close, and it wasn't planned that way by any means.
But I think it's made it a lot easier.
But yeah,
because everybody has the pressures of like, let's have another baby so the one child isn't alone. So they definitely got to grow up together and push each other when, you know, Aria started walking first. Ash yeah. was like, to get up and learn how to do it too, because it's like a little competition.
Yeah.
I just think that it's like, I love that it happened the way that it did, completely unplanned as it was. I couldn't have predicted or couldn't have like planned for a better outcome to have them so close apart. And I just think it's going to be to their benefit in the long run, because they'll always have this built-in, you know, best friend to get. And I think it's going to be difficult in some ways too, for them to have to go out and navigate, you know, the world as, you know, kids of two, you know, same sex parents who are widely visible on social media. And I think that the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to is that they're going to have each other to experience that. It's not like, you know, well, one kid's five and the other one is like, you know, three or two, where right. there's like a big age difference, they get to tackle everything together. So I love that for them.
And speaking of that and the kind of experiences that they have as the children of two dads, and I know you do some really like funny videos on, you know, what your reactions are when, you know, kids say that they can't have two dads, or people's reactions when they have two dads. Like, I guess there's the kind of humorous side that you might kind of diffuse some of that with the humor. What's the reality of that?
To be honest, the reels are not far off from what the reality would be. No. no, but I think, so what Jarius and I pride ourselves on, Now, what I will say with parenting may be a little different, but what we pride ourselves on is that, especially on social media, I don't think that people come to our page and feel the pressure of that we're doing the condemning at that point of people who are not accepting or understanding. I think that we make people laugh and we kind of take the ridiculous things that we've heard. It may not have even been directly said to us, but just that we see online or said to other kids, and make it funny and bring the humor out of, like, did you really just say that? And I think that connects people with our story, with who we are, and it changes their minds that way in an organic way, versus us being super defensive and, you know, being like, well, if you don't believe in same-sex marriage and same-sex parenting, then you're a bigot and you're this and you're this. I think that nobody's going to respond to that, just as we don't whenever we go to anti-LGBTQ plus pages. Like, you're not going to change our mind by reciting all the Bible verses and saying all the negative things. And so I think that that's important for us. And, you know, it's scary. It's scary. You know, Jarvis and I say this all the time of sending, you know, we're doing all this work to raise great human beings, and to know that we're putting them out into a not so great world where people don't have the exact same views and beliefs. It's definitely nerve wracking, but I think that we try to put in the most effort and the most work at home so that when they go out, they can handle whatever it is that they're dealing with. But we have very, as transparent as we can be with 5-year-olds conversations on what different families look like. We did a video on that just so they can recognize it. But we never want to send them out to where somebody else can tell them something that we haven't. So they understand the concept of other people having moms. Some people have 2 moms. They have a mom and a dad. You know, some people are raised by their grandparents. And I think that that's important, that it starts at home.
I think from my perspective, I love to learn. Like, and I love to learn about why things work the way that they do. So for me, like, Terrell is, you know, he's definitely like a funny person, and he loves to like take something that people are saying and to like make them feel like ridiculous about it. I love to have dialogue about why. Why do you feel that it's not okay for 2 kids to have the same sex parents? Like, let's talk about it. So that way, you know, we can really get down to like the root of the issue. And then it doesn't have to be done in a way that I have to make you feel like crap for, you know, your thoughts and opinions. Because to my, I guess, understanding my journey of who I am as a person, there were a lot of things that I was ignorant to as well. And I think life just teaches you, you know, how to grow and how to evolve. And I think for a lot of people, for so many years, they've been told this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. I have as well. And I think that I had to have my own process of figuring out, well, why is this wrong? Like, and I think Terrell, you know, challenges me because I do have, I tend to be a little bit more traditional in a lot of my thinking as well. But, you know, he challenges me too, like, well, why do you think like that? And I think that when you break it down to its simplest form, you start to see, well, I only really think this is because I've been told that this is wrong. But I guess that doesn't really make sense. And I think when you start to have those conversations, and like Terrell said, when you do it in a way that's not, you know, combative, I think most people still have some people that are crazy. But, you know, for the most part, most people do tend to be like, okay, well, you know what, like, thank you for that conversation, and that made me think about things a little bit different, and the next time that I approach it, I'll have a different process in how I go into it, and maybe I won't, you know, use harsh words, or maybe I won't be so negative about the situation, and just let everyone exist, to, you know, as they are.
And I really like that, the idea that you, even with each other, kind of explore that. Why is it that you think about things in that way, as opposed to just going, shutting it down and going, you shouldn't think that, going, why is it that you think that, and help kind of almost each other understand and other people understand those perspectives and what it is that drives those, and helping, I guess, build empathy with different points of view.
Exactly.
Even from us going to Europe and getting to experience like a totally different, you know, way of life from ours. Like it, I just think it would, it, you do yourself such a disservice when you, you live inside this tiny little bubble of your thinking. And there are so many brilliant minds in the world who have done so much research, who've put in so much effort and time to really, you know, advance humanity. I think it, you do yourself a disservice when you don't at least be open to conversation about it. And I think that that's what I try, or how I try to approach, you know, people who don't believe in same-sex marriage or parenting or whatever it is. Like, it's, let's sit down and let's talk about it. Because again, the way that, you know, this, what you've been taught is just such a small piece of the larger bubble that is the world. And the crazy thing is that a lot of these people probably, and that we've encountered, probably haven't been outside of the four states neighboring Louisiana. And it's like, there's so much like world out there and so much knowledge and experience that, you know, you're not tapping into, that it just, you're not doing yourself like the greatest favor by just staying within the, what you feel like is right and wrong.
And when you go out, do you people often experience you as two dads with their two kids, or do people sometimes assume that you're like dads with your own kids out together?
Oh, he, or that, or he's been my brother on many occasions. The only brother that I've ever had. He has, and to your point, it's, oh, we're giving our wives a break. And so it's just a beautiful sight to see. So it's, we get the gamut of comments and assumptions, but never that they're two dads. I don't think that that's the immediate thing that people go to.
And I think that, and we could really get into the weeds with that, but I just think that goes into what the perception of what a gay man is. And yeah, I think that when you see us and it's not like, you know, overly in your face, or we're just existing as people, I think most people tend to think that, oh, well, you know, they're just like two men, you know, with their kids, or two brothers, you know, taking their kids like on a play date or something like that. It's usually not, oh, they're together and this is a family.
Yeah.
We're matching.
Yeah.
But in that,
they get it.
Yeah. But then for the most part, it's that people just feel like we're two straight men. And I think that, again, like I said, that goes into the whole notion of, this is what a gay man is. And I think that's why we do what we do, because I feel like a lot of people think that they know what our dynamic is, and it's not. Like, I can be every which way, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, you, I don't think that you should look at situations and automatically think that you know what it is just because of what's being presented, when there's just so much like personality and so many like unique spirits that like, you just never know.
And do you like, does it depend on how much, sometimes you like, listen, I just can't be bothered to correct these people, I'm just going to go about my day. And sometimes you're like, listen, you, I'm going to tell you all about this.
Yeah. So I think it really depends on the time of day. Because it's that, which will take up so much time to kind of correct people on. And then also them being 5 weeks apart. So when people ask, are they twins? Typically, if you catch us on a day, I'm just like, yeah, they're twins. Like, I won't even explain the whole 5 weeks because people are so intrigued by it. But yes, like, it really just depends. And then you can kind of pick up on vibes too, like, depending on how someone acts. And that's our thing. Like, we're very vocal, and now we're at a place where we won't hide who we are. But I think that it, you still have to do what's best for your safety as well, because again, the world hasn't changed their perspectives, you know, totally on the topic. So we also have to be very smart with the things that we do as well when we're out in public.
Yeah, I think you assess every situation, because mm-hmm. I mean, as we're seeing in the news and stuff like that, like, you know, gay men specifically, I don't know why there's a difference between like lesbians and gays, but I think that gay men specifically are oftentimes very targeted, and we've received our fair share of hate messages, you know, specific towards gay men. And it's like, you know, you do have to assess the situation, and you do have to, and we have children, so we do have to make sure that we pick our battles wisely. But for the most part, it is kind of a lot to explain how they're 2 weeks apart to most people, because then it goes down. 5 weeks apart. People, because they are, it goes down a rabbit hole. But for us, and when people assume that we're not together, that's, I don't mind doing that, because it's like, I just want people to recognize that everything is not what it seems. So even though you think that this just two straight men, I'm just like, oh no, this is actually like my husband. And I just leave it at that. But then it's to put into people's mind that, oh, well, you know, shoot, like, well, next time that I approach the situation, like, let me, like, you know, not just automatically assume I know what the situation
is. The funniest thing is when it's on the phone, actually. I don't know if you've encountered that, but it'll be, if I'm talking to someone at our cell phone plan, or like we're trying to sign up for a new service, and you'd be like, so does your wife, you know, is your wife this? What's your wife's name? So I'm just like, oh, his name is Jarius. and it's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't do that to be a butthole, but it is just kind of funny because it does stop the assumptions that, I'm talking to a man on the phone, you know, his spouse is a wife. And so, of course, I let them know it's not that big of a deal, but it's kind of just, you know.
Just challenging those perceptions.
Yeah. I have to think that the world, there's more good people than there are bad. And I think that I have to believe that there are people who truly just don't mean any harm, but just don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think that with that, it allows me to not be defensive. And it allows me to just simply, you know, give them a different perspective on what it means to look at, you know, different situations. Because, I mean, again, and it's been a journey for me to come out of some of my beliefs. So I think that understanding that and having gone through that process, it makes me more empathetic to people going through their own processes, and that it's not going to happen just because I've come to this like awareness, you know, that like I have a totally new way of thinking. I think everyone has their own journey to go through. But if I'm able to be a small piece in helping them realize something different in just in a simple, like quick little conversation, why not? When it's doing so, when it's going to add up to the greater good.
I could honestly talk to you all day, but I think that's a really lovely place to finish on that point around empathy and seeing different perspectives and helping people on their journey in different ways. So I just want to say a massive thank you for joining me, Svet. It's been so enlightening and inspirational hearing you talk about your journey. So thank you.
No, we're super excited to be a part of it. So thank you for having us.
That's it for this week on the Proud Parent Club podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. And don't forget, there's a new episode every week. So make sure you follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, for exclusive previews of next week's show, give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok at The Proud Parent Club. See you next week.